1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
News, I'm Andy Field. 8 consecutive life sentences. That is the prison term handed down. Saifullah Saipov, he is the ISIS-inspired attacker who killed 8 people in 2017. By driving a rented truck down a New York City bike path. The suspect accused of murdering 4 University of Idaho students last year, now indicted by a grand jury, Brian Koberger, facing 4 counts of first-degree murder. Spokesman for Harry and Meghan, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, say they were involved in a near-catastrophic car chase while being pursued by paparazzi in Manhattan.
This was a statement which was explosive. They clearly feel that this was a dangerous situation, and I think these statements from the royal couple, they're intended to cut through. They're intended to shine a light on something which they don't feel enough people know about.
ABC's James Longman. Before leaving for Japan, President Biden insisting they will make a deal to avoid a default on the nation's debt. This is ABC News. One person died when a small banner plane crashed into a road near a shopping plaza in Hollywood, Florida. National Transportation Safety Board investigating. Turkey says Russia has agreed to extend a grain deal for 2 months, letting Ukraine send shipments through the Black Sea to parts of the world struggling with hunger. Earlier at the White House,
the award is given for actions above and beyond the call of duty and exhibiting exceptional courage, extraordinary decisiveness, presence of mind, and unusual swiftness in action, regardless of his or her personal safety, in an attempt to save or protect a human life.
President Biden awarded 9 first responders with the Medal of Valor, including 2 New York police officers who died in 2021 in the line of duty. Target's first quarter results will beat Wall Street expectations. Total revenue increased about 0.5% to $25 billion. But Target issuing a more cautious sales and profit outlook due to rising costs and a pullback in consumer spending. Andy Field, ABC News.
The Cripescast with me, Charlie Barron, Saturdays and Sundays at noon on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
All right, who's ready to eat? We got brats for dinner, marshmallows for dessert.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Time is running out to get a free home COVID-19 test. The end of the federal coronavirus emergency means no more free coronavirus care for the most part. The legislature's budget writing Joint Finance Committee votes to give prosecutors and public defenders in Wisconsin $67 million worth of raises. Democratic Representative Tip McGuire is from Kenosha.
I have multiple former colleagues from when I was an assistant district attorney who ultimately left the job to go to higher paid jobs that they are less satisfied with personally, but they did so because they and their family could not afford to continue in this position.
Democrats and Republicans alike are calling the new spending an historic investment. In sports, the Brewers beat the Cardinals last night 3-2. The rubber match is tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is Mike Moen from Wisconsin News Connection. You may have heard my stories on Civic Media. Wisconsin News Connection is surveying listeners to learn how to better report on issues important to you. Go to WISNewsSurvey.com, fill it out, and you'll be entered to win a $50 Target gift card. Once again, WISNewsSurvey.com to help improve the news and enter to win a $50 Target gift card. Thanks, and we look forward to your response at WISNewsSurvey.com.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Hey folks, keep her moving to Civic Media every Saturday and Sunday at noon for the Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens.
We've been out here all day. We've had 5 or 6 beers and only one fish.
In Brandon, St. Paul, or place a takeout order at cafelatte.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Zoe, as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Dega. And this episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Right on. And for more information, you can visit at littlemomentscount.org. And hey, we have a guest here, Wayne Soames, and you're a tribal liaison, and we're going to talk. I want you to introduce yourself, and I'm so happy to have you on. And these little moment shows are really important, and there's a lot of things going on with our little ones, and we love the fact that we bring on guests, and guests come on and talk about how they're working in the community and what's working for them and what they're doing. So, Wayne Pinigigi, thank you so much for being on, and please introduce yourself.
Miigwech, buju, anin and dinawe magana dog, wizawa benes in the goo, makwendo dem bawating in dunjaba, bawating is going again and being the gay be a gaz guy, eh? Nungumadash, besho gawa ba beganaka genda. Buju, all of my relatives, my name is Wayne Soames. I am the tribal liaison for Mojave Otwa Community Action Partnership in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. I am a member of the Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians over in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. They're in Sault Ste. Marie. And, you know, I'm working as a tribal liaison. My background is early childhood. I spent about 10 years in Head Start, and right now I'm currently helping out doing some work in Parent Aware, working with child care programs and family child care programs, and I'm very happy to be here.
Wow, we're really happy to have you on tonight. You know, I want to jump right into the questions because I know we only have a couple segments with you, but I'm so happy that you're on and to be able to speak your truth and educate our listening audience, and that's all we do here at Native Roots Radio. So I want to just jump into the first question. What do you believe are the key elements of a successful language revitalization program? And I know that is so important. If we don't have our language, we are not a tribe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of our sovereignty is based off of that. And, you know, I think, first of all, everyone in that program, they need to be on the same page. And depending on what you're working on, whether it's new vocabulary, you're doing something with grammar, or you're even working in full-blown immersion, the folks in that program need to understand that common goal and what's trying to be done, or you start may lose people, you might start to lose your way. I was told this story back home in over there in Sault Ste. Marie. They were putting together a language retreat or some type of camp with the intent of being a full immersion camp. But once they got going, they started to realize how difficult that was. And then, you know, they slowly started to get back into English. And then eventually they were only speaking English. So even maybe trying to scaffold it, you maybe start here, work our way up here, but having that common goal and something with Anishinaabe Mon, Ojibwe Mon, which are such difficult languages, definitely get, you know, those elders involved and those knowledge keepers and those people who grew up, you know, protecting the language, speaking the language, and even fluent elders, get some, fluent speakers, get some of those fluent speakers involved as well. And, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to jump in and just say, you know, our language, we had a couple generations where, whether it was boarding schools and after boarding schools, where our relatives were not speaking the language. And I talk about this a lot. In 1978, I was a junior in high school, and that was when we first legally were to be able to practice our own religion in this country. So it's not 1,200 years ago that it's been an attack on Native Americans and what we've been doing and what we stand for and our language. So I didn't mean to cut in, but it just makes me think that, you know, the young ones are really kicking it in a sense, because I'm a former high school teacher, and I know that I have students or former students that are speaking the language, and we never really had the opportunity in my generation.
Right. And, you know, I think like my generation and the generation behind me, rulers and elders every day and some of these fluent speakers, and, you know, having that opportunity to be able to learn from a fluent speaker, just, you know, just to listen, to talk to them, to ask them questions, that's so invaluable to being able to protect the language and kind of keep it alive and, you know, tapping some of their knowledge to try to pass on to that next generation. And you know, talking about the next generation as well, I think, you know, another important part of a successful revitalization program is involving those children. The whole idea of revitalization is to ensure, you know, the longevity of the language, and that's going to be through, you know, our children and our children. So getting those kids involved as well. And two, 80% of brain development, you know, happens within the first 1,000 days of a child's life. And if you're speaking that language to them, they're going to make those connections. I try to speak at home with my kids. It's tough for me. It's still something I'm trying to work on. But when I say Oji Mishin to my son, like, oh, give me a kiss, like, he doesn't have to think about it. That connection is there, and he doesn't have to translate. He doesn't have to. It's natural for him now. So yeah, getting those kids involved too in these programs is important.
Yeah, it is. And what about the parent aware program? I know to have the parents buy in is really, really important. Tell us a little bit about that, your program that you are kind of spearheading there. How does that work, and how do you make the parents aware?
Yeah, so Parent Aware, I'm a Parent Aware coach, so I help out family child care programs. You know, Parent Aware helps programs find opportunities to improve their program quality, supports them with the tools and resources they need to exceed, and celebrates the work they're doing to create lives for the children, to create better lives for the children in Minnesota. Child care programs, they can receive up to $4,000 of grant money to put towards the program. You know, new materials, curriculum materials, toys, anything that's going to improve the quality of their program. But then also families can receive up to $8,500 worth of early learning scholarship money to help pay for their to help support their children in that program. And then also, you know, higher rates for CCAP, which is based off, you know, income levels, but there's a lot of opportunity there for the provider, the parents, they're in Parent Aware. And then two, the resources available to the early child care programs, they get free coaching, they get a professional development advisor, So it's really a great program.
Wow, it does sound like a great program. We have one of our regular listeners, or I should say watchers of, we're on Facebook Live and YouTube too. She wants you to say, I guess Ojibwe, give me a kiss again. do you mind saying that?
Yeah. Ojimishin. Ojimishin.
That's a good one. Yeah. Thank you. I want to get into, and time's flying here in this segment, but I want to get into one of your most memorable experiences. And I want to save that for next segment because we only have a minute left. How do you feel like with your, we got 30 seconds left here. time's flying here. But I am here with Wayne Soames. And we are talking about parent aware coaching, and also we're here, you know, this episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count, and we're going to take a quick break after this short. We're going to take a quick break. That's all I have to say. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. The time is now. Contact your legislator and tell them to pass paid family and medical leave for Minnesota. Learn more at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org, paid for by the Minnesota AFL-CIO. Students at participating Twin Cities high schools can get a summer's worth of rides on buses and light rail for just $30 with a summer student pass. From June 1st through September 5th, students can get unlimited rides on buses and trains up to a $3.25 fare. For a list of participating schools and to purchase a pass, visit metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass. Again, that's metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count.
Hey, we're here with Wayne Soames, and we're talking a little, parent-aware coaching and a little Wayne's background and talking about the little ones and how important they're to get engaged with our culture, with their culture, and just important things. I want to get right into a quick question here, and I want to ask you what some of the most memorable experiences you had while working with Head Start. I think that's set the plate there, and tell our audience again, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. It definitely has to be the relationships built. Not only with the students, the kids, but too with the families. Whenever I go back home to the Upper Peninsula and I see a family that I used to care for, their child, their children, it's like seeing a long lost friend. You know, they're entrusting you to take care of their little one. You know, and I taught 16 months to 3 years, so kind of that toddler age, and to leave, their child that young in someone else's care, you know, it's pretty incredible. But the kids, they never remember me, which is okay. But you know, a couple years ago, last year, I was in a store over in Park Rapids where I was teaching, and saw one of the families I work with, and was catching up with the mom. And this student came over, and you know, the mom told her who I was, and she just stood there and stared at me for about 30 seconds. But then you can kind of see the light bulb click and like a little smile on her face, and she came over for a hug. And you know, it's just like those little moments there where it's like, all right, you know, maybe I did make an impact, a difference in this kid's life, or you know, I made their time special when they were with me. But I think it's those kind of moments that are most memorable for me.
Wow, that's awesome. Hey, you know, you're a grandson of a federal Indian Board school survivor, and how has that impacted you and your work? And I know it's impacted most Native Americans know somebody a generation away or two generations away or even closer than that went through boarding school. So how has that impacted your work and who you are?
Yeah, I only learned this. So I'm in my 30s, and I only learned this like a year and a half ago. You know, I was telling my mom, she's over back in the Upper Peninsula still, and you know, I'm in Minnesota here, and she was over visiting it, and I was telling her about some of the language stuff that I've been doing. And I asked her if grandma was able to speak, and she told me, you know, and that's when she told me. And even that, my mom, my grandma passed away when my mom was only about a year old. And so it, like, that whole connection to that part of my life, I was kind of lost. And, you know, because my mom wasn't able to even share anything with me. But it definitely, you know, it was elders talking about boarding school experiences and hearing it firsthand that kind of got me back trying to learn Anishinaabe Mon. And I just think, you know, nights when I don't want to do anything or it's too hard or anything like that, you know, some of these elders, they, you know, fought tooth and nail to keep it alive and to keep language alive and culture alive. And now it's kind of our jobs to help get that to the next generation and to help keep passing that on. So yeah, it, you know, it plays a huge part in what I do and with language and culture and everything like that.
Yeah, definitely. And I heard from a matter of fact, Lakota Dakota speaker, and he was a teacher in my school, and we speak Ho-Chunk, which is kind of a Siouan language. And he told me to learn a new word either every day or every couple days and never say the English version again. So replace that word, and then in no time you will be speaking, not fluently, but you'll be able to speak and understand a lot better than you did, say, 3 months earlier. But that sounds like an interesting game plan. You know, I want to know how you create an effective plan for providing language revitalization services to your community. What is your game plan? What is your strategic plan? I'd really love to hear that.
Yeah. So kind of what you're talking about, you know, have folks try to get them to start thinking in Anishinaabe Mon and get away from that, you know, that colonizer, that English way of thinking and speaking. But then, you know, trying to mimic and, you know, hopefully something on this side of the state comes up. But there's a language program over in Cloquet, Minnesota, called Ojibwe Motadida Omakitakiminang, or OOG for short. And they do adult programming, but then they also do family programming, and they pay, it's with young children, like early child care, but then they pay their parents to be there at the program with the kids. So it's not just the kids, you know, spending 6 hours a day there, 4 days a week, getting this information. The parents are getting the same information, so they're able to bring it back to the home and to expand on that. And I just think that's, you know, that's so great, because some of these, you know, the kids, they're getting the language at school, which is good, which is awesome, but that's as far as it's going. Then because maybe the parents aren't speakers, or you know, something like that. So Yeah, hopefully something like that comes about over here.
No, I like that plan, because as we talked a little bit earlier, you really need the parents to buy in. And by helping them financially, too, makes a lot of sense, so they can take that time to go to class with their young ones. And that's a really, I like that plan. That's a really, really good plan. Yeah, so, you know, I was going to ask you one other question here. I said, what have you learned, you know, about leadership and, you know, like collaboration from your time in early childhood education? And I think that's a loaded question. I think you probably have learned a lot, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, as a former teacher, early childhood teacher, and still as a relatively new parent, I have a 3.5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. It takes a village or a tribe. There's so many moving parts to that, and so many moving parts to early childhood to make sure all these children's needs are being met. They're receiving the services they need, whether it's speech, occupational therapy, anything really to meet their individualized family service plan. It takes a lot of people to get a lot of that going, and to make that work. And, you know, during this whole process, I think it's important to be an ally and an advocate for that family, and kind of take a leadership role on that way, and really collaborating with the family. Because a lot of that, you know, that wordage and terms being used in those scenarios and those meetings are really foreign to these parents. And so being someone in their corner, and it could be scary, a scary thing, you know, maybe their child receiving services or something like that and expected, or it's just new to them. But, you know, having that communication, being an advocate for that parent, but then just working as a team too, and making sure, you know, the team helps that parent feel at ease. And so, yeah.
That's a good one. Hey, so we got like just a couple minutes left, and I'd like to ask you to speak upon anything you'd like to speak on your program here, and the parent aware coaching, you know, and how important that is, and to our listeners, and especially, you know, our Ojibwe and Lakota, Dakota, and Ho-Chunk listeners, how important it is to get back to our roots and learn our language and our way. And go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, with Parent Aware, you know, like I mentioned, there's a lot of money there to the programs, and more importantly, there's a lot of money there for the families who go to that programs. So, you know, if you're having thoughts about it, or second thoughts, or maybe you're looking into it, and maybe it doesn't seem for you, or you don't need the money, but your parents might, your families might. And I think that's something that really comes into consideration. And two, if you're Indigenous, or, you know, and you're running the childcare, or you're working in the childcare, kind of like what you said earlier, Robert, you know, just using one word a day. And if that's the only word you know, using that word instead of the English word, including some cultural ideas into the classroom. There's a lot of Indigenous curriculums, Ojibwe curriculums, Lakota curriculums to help with some of those cultural practices and ideas and language to really include it. You know, I know you've had Barb Faber on before, and the Indigibox is great. And I get those for my kids, and, you know, they love to go through those and use those different materials. And we've made drums and, you know, different items. So it's been, you know, there's a lot of those resources out there.
Well, Wayne, thank you so much for stopping in. Very, very informative. And, you know, I also, not only are you informative, I want to say, keep up the great work. Really. We need more men like you to lead the way. And it's good to see you here. And really, keep up the great work, because our young ones depend on us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Robert, you know, off the Jigumi Glitch, thanks for having me here, too. I really appreciate it. And thanks for letting me share my story. And, yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Right on, PDE. We'll have you on again sometime. Thank you, Wayne. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And up next, Dr. Stately, a Native American Community Clinic here in Minneapolis, the Twin Cities. Stay with us.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A vehicle has struck pedestrians at the Alaskan Airlines departure drop-off at the Seattle-Tacoma Airport. Airport officials tell ABC News it appears the driver mistakenly hit the wrong pedal. The man who drove a rented truck down a New York City bike path in a 2017 ISIS-inspired attack has been sentenced to 8 consecutive life sentences for the 8 people killed. Jury foreman J.P. Patrick.
While this person right now feels no remorse, I can't help but believe that over time, his lack of remorse will be whittled away when he can't see his family.
Saifullah Saipov also got 260 years. D.C. Metro Assistant Police Chief Morgan Kane says a search is underway for a gunman who killed a 17-year-old student outside of Roosevelt High School.
We have the vehicle that we were looking for, that we saw on video. We have made contact with the driver of that vehicle.
This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation released a rail plan this week calling for a new passenger connection between Milwaukee and Madison and extending the Amtrak Hiawatha route to Green Bay and the Fox Cities. The plan estimates yearly rail ridership will increase by more than 1 million in 2024 to over 3 million by 2050 if Wisconsin implements the suggested improvements and extensions. However, GOP Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said last year he would not support dedicating state funding to expand passenger rail service to Madison. Governor Evers traveling across Wisconsin this week to highlight $750 million in his proposed budget to expand internet access across the state. The money would improve or expand internet access to over 600,000 Wisconsin residents who either don't have broadband or can't afford it. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
Over on. If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then
has gourmet pizzas that pair perfectly with their 30-plus wines by the glass. Located off Victoria and Grand at St. Paul or at CafeLatte.com.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake and I'm your host, Wakanja Hare.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we got Dr. Stately on for a quick segment here. A lot happening here in Indian Month here in Minnesota, and I just wanted to make sure we got Dr. Stately on to talk about one of his pet projects, and I'm really excited. We have an open house coming up. Dr. Stately, thanks for stopping in. I know you're super busy, and you're usually our Monday go-to person, but we wanted to get you on now. with this great open house.
Well, bonjour, everyone. Thank you, Robert Chimiguich. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and the invite. And hi, Haley. Good to see you as well. So NAC is having our open house on Friday, May 19th. That's in a couple of days from today. Mm-hmm. Open house starts at 10 o'clock in the morning and goes till 2 p.m. And some pretty exciting stuff we're doing. So just general things to know about the open house. Free swag bags for the first 200 adults that show up.
Oh, wow.
And there's all kinds of really cool stuff in the swag bags. There'll be a whole bunch of things, some stuff in there for kids as well. So if you come and you have a kid with you, there will be some things in there for them as well. But we're only giving them to adults. It's because we have a first aid kit inside there and a couple of other things that we don't want small kids to get their hands on. So that's why we're only giving them to the adults. We'll have two food trucks. Trickster Tacos, which everybody loves, the Trickster Tacos. And then also Russell's Traveling Kitchen, which is like burgers and dogs and a few other things. We'll have a big attraction that everybody loves. Everybody seems to love it. It's pretty exciting. I remember the first time I walked through it. The Rolling Colon will be here on site.
Yeah.
Did you do that one time? That was like, yes. So cool. Yeah. The Rolling Colon. So you get to walk through a life-size Rolling Colon. Right. So like you're.
It's like, bigger than life size because mine's not that big.
Well, yours isn't that big, but you're just basically walking through that colon. You're a food particle, is what you are.
Exactly. Well, this is a celebration of the 20th anniversary, our annual.
Yeah, it's our 20th anniversary. So we're really excited about this. We came up with, and we even. Kind of did an adaptation to our existing logo to sort of like come up with a specific Native American Community Clinic 20th anniversary logo, which is on all of our things. It's on our swag bag that you'll get, a few other things. And also one of the other events I want to kind of point out, it's on this flyer. So people aged 50 to 80 years old will have a chance, who have smoked commercial tobacco cigarettes, participate in a lung cancer screening event that we're promoting, and they'll get a $25 gift card if they consider getting a lung cancer screening and signing up to do one. That's in a partnership with the University of Minnesota's Masonic Cancer Center. And I want to just kind of tell everybody, like, you know, I actually went and got a lung cancer screening myself. They made a little video about it that hasn't been released yet. But I remember going and doing it, and it was so simple, really easy, not scary at all. It's a really simple process. You can get in and out within, like, I think 15, 20 minutes of the process. And then you get your readings and your results a little bit later. A radiologist has to read those things and get back to you. Mm-hmm. It's really important for us to do those screenings. I just kind of want to put a plug in here because in Minnesota, Native Americans have much higher rates of disparity and inequities around lung cancer-related diseases writ large than the rest of the population. And we also have higher rates of mortality, and a lot of it has to do with us not finding out that we have lung cancer or catching it early enough to sort of actually intervene and mitigate mortality and death. So,
I do that lung screening once a year because I want a starting point. So if they see anything different in the next year, and they will be able to catch that soon. So that is a great idea and a great opportunity for people to do that.
Yeah, and you get $25 that you can walk down the street and get an iced coffee at Powell Grounds, which is right across the street. And so those are some things that we're doing, and we'll have a lot of tabling out there. Many of our partners will be here. It's always a fun event at the Native American Community Clinic open house, and we have lots and lots of fun. During the hours of between 12 and 1, we're actually going to have a special program. Specifically, we're going to do an event where we're calling our honoring our founders, honoring NAC's founders, who helped to establish the clinic 20 years ago in February of 2003 when we opened our doors. And we're going to be honoring founding board members who have passed on, two really important founding board members who passed on within the last few years. Clyde Belcourt, of course, yeah. Everybody knows him. He's the AIM leader and a leader and a grandfather of so many of the organizations that are sort of serving the Native community across the Twin Cities and across the Minnesota and in many ways across the nation. So mm-hmm. we're going to be honoring him, and his children will be here to receive the honoring and the gift we have for him and basically our thank you for that contribution. The other founding board member we'll be honoring was Larry Leventhal. He was the lawyer, great. Lots of people know who he is. He was really critical to helping AIM get started. He wrote a lot of, he represented a lot of those folks who were having legal challenges and legal issues related to all of the things that were going on in the late 60s and early 70s. And he also helped establish NAC as a corporation and a nonprofit and helped us write our bylaws. So we're going to thank him as well. And his family will be here to accept.
That's crazy. He really helped out. He's a lawyer that has the hair, right?
He
passed on a couple of years ago, right?
He passed on in January of 2017, a month after I started working here as the CEO.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And one thing I was talking to his sister, Paula Massal, who's actually going to be here to receive the honor in his absence. I was telling her that when I was 19 years old, I got a DUI, and my mother, who knew Larry Leventhal, helped me get in touch with him, connected me to him, and he helped represent me and get that DUI taken care of. I was a young man and new to college and a bunch of other things, and that was a scary moment in my life, and he was really instrumental in helping me with that. And then I think the other founders we will recognize a living founding board member, who is Lyle Iron Moccasin. He's still on our board. He's been with us for 20 years now. And then we'll also honor the founding providers who left Indian Health Board back in 2022 and helped us to establish this clinic. So we'll be honoring our founding providers, Lydia Karos, Dr. Karos, Dr. Lori Benazic, Dr. Carol Crush, one of our former board members as well, and also Susan Hibbs, who is still a provider here at the clinic. We just celebrated her 20th anniversary with us as well back in February.
20 years.
And I'm hoping my grandmother shows up, because my grandmother told me the other day that she was one of the first patients to come to NAC way back in 2003 when it first opened. And I told her to show up, because I'm going to make sure she gets a taco and a couple of other things. So
darn, get her a blanket.
I know.
Get her a blanket.
Might be one of the original patients. Good Lord. I don't know how many of you are left. So we might have to do something special for you.
Yeah.
This will be a great day. The other part of the program is we are going to unveil some of the renderings for our new building that we are proposing to build at the front of the property that we just purchased a couple years ago here on Franklin Avenue along the cultural corridor. It is going to be a two-story clinic with four floors of affordable and supportive housing above. And it's our opportunity to describe the project and talk to the community about the new building and mm-hmm. to sort of get some feedback from them about the renderings and the things that are going to be in the clinic. So great opportunity for people to get a sneak peek at what the building will look like.
Let's go over it again. We got like a minute left here. Friday, this coming Friday, on Franklin Avenue, Native American Community clinic.
It's located on 1213 East Franklin Avenue, right next to Maria's Cafe, and everybody in the planet seems to know where that is. So yeah. Right next door. And please show up between 10 and 2, eat some food, spend some time with your relatives, both here at the clinic and also in the community, and have a lot of fun. And you'll get to see some of our plans for the new clinic coming up in 2024.
And you'll get to see Dr. Stately. And I know you have a great crew there, so you'll be master of ceremonies and all chill. And then your crew will be running around crazy because there's a lot of moving parts here.
Yep, yep. And come walk through the rolling colon. It's always fun to, you can see the things that are kind of going on inside your body and the things that, why it's important to get a colonoscopy when you turn. I think they just changed it to 40, actually. So
yeah.
Yeah. I think they did. And that's because we're finding that many, many more young people are actually developing colon cancer earlier. And then we do a better job of catching that early. We can actually save people's lives and improve the quality of their life over a lifetime.
Well, hey, Dr. Stately, thanks for stopping in. I know you're super busy, but I think it's important for our community and our listeners to hear from you, and especially about this open house that's happening Friday. Pina Gigi, thank you so much for being on Native Roots Radio, and we'll talk to you soon, and we'll see you Friday.
Yes, Chimigwich, Gigawabman.
Oh, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next, Wendy Pilot with our Sacred Animal section. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wah!
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When it comes to mental health, making connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Connections can bring comfort, hope, and joy. Find ways that work for yourself and others, like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, creating space to listen. Visit cmentalhealth.org. That's cmentalhealth.org. cmentalhealth.org.
If you've made the decision to level your home and build new or to renovate, hire Better Futures Minnesota to take it apart by hand. Think before you scrap. Think of the energy and greenhouse gases saved by diverting what can be reused and recycled from the landfill. Better Futures Minnesota can do it for you. Hennepin County residents and public entities, there are funds available to make the environmentally right thing to do comparable to demolition. Check out BetterFuturesMinnesota.com. That's BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Oh, we got Wendy here howling, and I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many years, and she's been speaking about our sacred animals and advocating them on Native Roots Radio for almost 8 years now. So I just want to hand over the show to you and say, Pina Gigi, thank you for what you bring to the show and bring all the airwaves across Turtle Island, because I learned so much, even on that one, what Friday was that it was Positive Friday, and it was like, Hey, these are all downer ones. They remember downers, that a lot?
I do.
I should just find that again.
It was pretty funny, though, because we were all like, look.
The next one.
We were all like, okay, this one's going to be a really good and happy one. And then it was like, oh, that's a downer.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got an email this morning.
What?
At 10:05.
You were still sleeping?
maybe not. Anyway, it's from Dr. Maureen Hackett, who is the founder of Howling for Wolves, which we really appreciate the support here. So here it goes. I'm going to just read the email that I got this morning from Howling for Wolves. Minnesota legislators turn its back on wolves. This is from Howling for Wolves. Dear wolf advocates, the Minnesota State Legislators Environment, Climate, and Energy Conference Committee excluded our legislation to prohibit wolf hunting and trapping from the final bill.
The ominous bill?
Yep.
Oh.
The legislator has squandered a historic opportunity to protect one of our most cherished species. We won't let our profound disappointment get in the way of our advocating to ensure the survival of our state's wolf population. The prohibition on wolf hunting passed the House of Representatives by a bipartisan vote with a huge margin of 69 to 57. The bill did not get a vote in the Senate. With only a one-seat Democratic majority, the leadership was protective about what votes their members should take. As a result, the wolf hunting prohibition was excluded from the final omnibus environment bill. Our work at the Capitol highlighted the need for wolf protections to new lawmakers, and the bipartisan House vote showed us which lawmakers are willing to protect our state's wolves. We are heartened to have so many allies in our fight to ban recreational wolf hunting and trapping. Our presence also showed the Department of Natural Resources how much opposition they will face if they propose a wolf hunt. Still, we know it will be a hard fight. The DNR opposed our bill, and they definitely had a seat at the table with the lawmakers who ultimately decided to exclude our legislation from the final conference committee bill. It's fair to ask why an agency charged with protecting our natural resources is so committed to leaving the door open for wolves to be killed for recreation. Last week, the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association said it would boycott its fall's governor's deer opener to pressure Governor Tim Walz to support wolf hunting instead of wolf conservation. This highlights the intense desire of special interest groups to kill wolves. Those who support wolf hunting equate it with wolf management, which ignores the basic biological and social aspects of the wolf that makes hunting them so dangerous and threatens their continued survival. While this is a setback, we put our wolf on the agenda going forward at the Capitol. We will continue fighting to ensure that the wild wolf survives long into the future. Howling for Wolves thanks you for your tireless advocacy. It's because of your work that we got this far, proving that your voice matters. Your activism in this fight for state protections keeps the wild wolf in Minnesota safer. Keep on your lawmakers and the governor to protect wolves by prohibiting wolf hunting and trapping and enforce poaching laws. Live and let howl, Dr. Maureen Hackett, founder, Howling for Wolves. So it is a setback, and it is kind of like, really, all this work and that one, you know.
So where is it at now, in a sense? So wolves are not protected, or can they be hunted? Can they have a season? Where is it at until next year?
We're going to check with Dr. Maureen Hackett, but I believe that they can call for a, you know, a wolf hunt.
So who would call that, the DNR?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to check with Dr. Maureen Hackett. Maybe tomorrow we can have her call in and give us, like, what's the next step? What do we do now? You know, everybody worked really hard. You know, I know a whole bunch of us showed up for Wolf Day. We showed up for Humane Lobby Day, which mm-hmm. the Humane Society of the United States put on. Howling for Wolves put on Wolf Day. I mean, we had two really large groups of people going in and talking to their legislators, their House representatives, about the importance of, you know, keeping the wolf alive in Minnesota. And it all comes down to that, you know, just a little bit of voting here.
Politics gets involved with what's mm-hmm. doing with the right thing again.
Yep.
Right?
Exactly. It's really sad. So, again, you know, like it said here, we're going to move forward and we're going to keep on it. And we're going to keep on. We need to keep on our lawmakers. You know, I would suggest everybody call Tim Walz, our governor, and tell them how disappointed they are. Mm-hmm. that this happened, and that we want him to keep protecting wolves. And we don't want these special interest groups to mandate what's going to happen to the wolf in Minnesota.
Well, I think he supports it along with Peggy, Lieutenant Governor, because he was uninvited to the fishing opener.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. that's huge because of his support for the non-fighting or non-killing of wolves, mm-hmm. and I think it was something else too. Oh yeah, gun control.
Yeah,
they didn't want them there because these sportsmen want, you know, to shoot stuff with the AR-15 and blow it to smithereens. I don't know.
It's really. I know it's a big mess. It really is. So we'll just wait. You know, we've gone through this before. There's always setbacks. You know, it ebbs and flows throughout the years, and we just have to, you know, move forward and keep fighting and keep, you know, I tell everybody, just figure out who your, you know, your senator is, your mm-hmm. House representative, and just go and meet them. Call them on the phone, tell them what you care about.
Well, we have these Democratic senators and representatives that are, I don't know, in rural areas, I guess is what mm-hmm. you say, and they're afraid to lose their constituents and lose a vote or whatever. So that is really disappointing because, you know, we've been talking about wolves from day one.
I know, for 8 years.
For day one, yes. About protecting wolves.
Ever since we've been on the radio, we've been doing that. Yeah.
And here we are. It's 8 years later, and we're in the same place, and mm-hmm. in some states like Wisconsin, a worse place.
Yes. They had a terrible wolf hunt there. It was mandatory. People came out of the woodwork all over from all over the United States to come and shoot wolves.
Yeah.
72 hours, the quota was over the quota. They went over the 72
way over.
Hours.
Yeah. And it was supposed to be, what, two weeks?
It was a bloodbath. It was a literal bloodbath for these poor animals.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. Wendy, thanks for that update. That's important.
Yeah. It's a little bit disappointing, but we have to just, you know, shake it off and move forward and just work on it. Keep on working on it. That's all we can do.
Well, these updates are important, and I want to thank the doctor for sending out that email, too, because it's important for us to stay plugged in and keep on fighting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We'll have to get in touch with Dr. Maureen Hackett and have her on next week for an update.
Right on. Yes, definitely. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, protect our wolves, and all those things. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
At Fisher Investments, our clients know we have their backs.
How do your clients know that?
Because Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, the highest standard for a financial advisor. It means we're there for our clients and always put their interests first.
So wait, You do it because you have to?
No, we do it because it's the right thing to do. Our clients trust us with their retirement savings, and we know how important that responsibility is. So we take the time to really get to know them.
Get to know them how?
We make sure we understand their unique goals, finances, health, family, and lifestyle so we can tailor their portfolio to their specific needs. Our goal is to help them achieve a comfortable retirement.
Sounds like a big responsibility. You must make big commissions then, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We have one single transparent fee that's structured so we do better when our clients do better. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you are switching to us. Fisher Investments. Clearly different money management.
Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
ABC News.